Media Design and Learning and member of the Learning Environments Research Group Media Lab at the University of Art and Design in Helsinki.
Thank you. I'm today going to tell about one project we've been working for several years. It's a bit off at the moment, but it's open source, so if anybody is interested in to put forward what we started, it's you will find the source code. But the original idea was that we started to think about how to bring Wikipedia to mobile phones. And looking this back in 2004, 2005, it was obvious that it's not going to be a web browser. It was quite obvious that if you look for developing world, it must be the phone models with text message and voice. So the first answer, of course, for that is that there's no way to bring Wikipedia to mobile phones of that simple features. And we started to think about that how it could be done. Okay, there's a text message, there's an audio, and then we came up that maybe we could build something out of that. So, Okay, wow. Ooh. Colors are correct. Yeah. So I thought to talk about two trends which are pretty much discussed in these fields. Of course, the mobiles getting and becoming most likely the first entry point for masses to get online, and then the wikis, on which of course people over here are expert about, and then how these two trends could be combined. Now it's fine, don't touch. Yeah. And we came up with the idea of this mobile audio wiki, which I then describe finally. But let's first just look for the mobile phone field and how to define what is a mobile phone. And of course, we may talk about digital mobile devices as well. And then we can define that there's the phones. Then some manufacturers wants to call they more advanced phones, multimedia phones. Then there's, of course, the handheld devices being around different kind of personal assistant things and games and calculators. And then there's this kind of phone computers, internet tablet, and ultralight laptops. And this field is actually quite interesting in that sense that there are companies and manufacturers who are approaching the same thing and getting more close and close. Just an anecdote is interesting that 2007 Nokia was really mad for their own stuff if they were calling the devices phones. They wanted to be called multimedia computers, which is really stupid name. I think I would never like to have a multimedia computer ever again. That sounds like 1980s for me. But same time, Apple computers drop the name computer from they name. Basically, one of the reasons is that so much of their revenue comes from iPod and nowadays of iPhone. So both the phone business and the computer business is moving to something between, which is then mobile device or something like that. And this is, of course, happening. But to be honest, it's not going to happen in a big scale very soon. Still, in years to come, the mobile phones, the simple mobile phones, will reach 100% of the world population, like access into them in couple of years, seriously. When, if we look any of the iPhone or internet tablets or laptops, they just don't grow anymore in numbers. And this is a partly matter of price, but also kind of like a lack of computer culture in many parts of the world. So if you don't have that culture kind of living in there, people won't see the device very useful. This is a one model which has been selling more than 200 million copies. It's annually, this kind of models are sold about 1 billion. So 1/6 of the world population is getting one of these. Okay, many of them are getting a new one, so all of them are not new ones. But there is some estimations. 2008, 50% of the world population was having mobile phone, which means audio text messaging thing. And 2011, they expect that 75% of the world population. So the trend is really, really something which is a global. And the industry call these entry-level mobile phones. Of course, they want to get people to buy and renew their phone every year or two. And if we look these, which now we talk about billions of devices, and if we look what are the features, it's really like a making the phone call and sending text messages. But then in addition of that, there are contacts, clock, alarm, calculators, flashlights, and things like that. And those are, of course, very important in many parts of the world as well. Then if we look like what the industry is trying to sell as a second mobile phone, we are still quite limited feature set. Basically, it's again still talk and text. You can make calls. Then you may have the MP3 player, radio, some of them cameras, and then bit of possibilities for simple applications made with Java, Python, or Flash Lite. And then there's the mobile networks, and then there's the Bluetooth, which is actually in these parts of the world quite important network connection because it works peer-to-peer. You can share things from one phone to another. Then if we look just the mobile phone as a from more like a communication studies point of view, it's one-to-one media. It's okay, you can send the same text message for many people, but still it's primary. You make phone call for your friends, or you send a text message for your friends, and then you get a response from there. And as we know, then that wiki is many-to-many media, and this is the power of wikis, kind of. And web itself is many-to-many media. And now the big question is that when you look for many-to-many media, it not really is the traditional communication channel. It ends up to be a forum for discourse, forum for building up things together, as we know from Wikipedia, and I think that's the power of this many-to-many media. And now we started to think that, okay, could we make a mobile many-to-many media? And we came up with the idea, as I told in the beginning, that okay, let's think about the Wikipedia content, how we could bring to these simple phones. And we made a little video, which was we came up with the scenario, and then we made a video how the system would work if there would be a working system. And then we made the prototype afterwards. But I have the video still, which is just a scenario video, which quite nicely explains the idea. I think you won't hear the voice very well, but I can speak on top of it and explain it. So we end up to think about audio encyclopedia, so the data or the materials are in audio format. It should work with the SMS messages, and in a Wikipedia way, it should be multilingual, and actually we were using speech synthesizer and using the Wikipedia data. And also think about that if it's Wikipedia and it's a wiki, there should be a way to contribute into it as well and work with several languages. And what we did was that we have a server in which you can send a text message. So that's your search term. You send a text message like Helsinki, Finland. Then the server receives this SMS gateway, takes that, searches the Wikipedia article, and the server calls you back, and then there's text-to-speech reading you the article. And then we made a simple navigation over there, so you can jump from one section to another with your keys of your phone. And also the contribution thing we made it that you can record annotations to any of the sections of the article. So with the scenario, the idea was that there is flyers coming around in places without internet connection, but a lot of phones, and then people could find out that there's a mobile encyclopedia available, and there's instructions. You type in your query word, send it to simple simple number, and then you wait for a while, and then the server calls you back, and you will hear the article. So now he sent a text message. Now his phone is ringing. He answers, and he will hear the article he was searching for. So this was the original idea what we wanted to do, and then we built the prototype, and at that time we were working with the South African research center over there, which was working closely with schools, and we thought about it that okay, let's make it as an educational thing. The students can use the Wikipedia in a classroom through this, and we were having phones with the speakers, and it was available in there, and we did a bit of research on that. Kind of funny thing with this approach, obvious benefit of this kind of approach, even that just having the encyclopedia in a classroom, is that even with schools with the computer lab, in case of South Africa, we were counting that it takes something like half an hour for any student to enter the computer lab, because it's in a room without any windows, with a metal door locked, and the teacher goes and finds the key, opens it up, let the children in, then you turn off the windows, and then it's been half an hour when they enter and get the internet connection, even if they have one in there. So just as using the mobile phone Wikipedia, checking certain facts in a classroom makes much more sense, because it was instantly available for students. And they could use it with their own phones as well. We did some testing in two different schools and got a certain results out of that. This is the kind of I don't know how to describe this picture. It's made by me, and it's not UML or anything like that. I've been told several times. But the idea is that the user is over here, requests with SMS, then the software which we were just combining together was this SMS gateway, then the PBX, which is doing these calls out. You probably programmers know what I'm talking about, and then there's the MediaWiki and the MySQL database as well. And we were combining these to work together. So the setup itself was a one PC with the telephone card to connect to the phone network. So receiving text messages and then making the phone calls with the normal telephone network. And then we were having the PBX was providing then the possibility to do the navigation inside the article, plus adding those voice annotations. So of course the data can be whatever. There was this text-to-speech as well, but the data could be also audio data. So we thought about it that if there would be articles written by human, it would be much, much easier. Then we wouldn't need to think about listening the not that good text-to-speech they are at the moment, plus in most of the African languages there won't be in next 100 years text-to-speech. So having human voices with the articles would make much more sense. But we were playing with the idea and testing with some audio files as well, and it seems to make sense quite a lot. We've been changing quite a lot the idea now, and what we've been actually thinking with this mobile many-to-many media is to think about it more from the point of view that how this could improve democracy, free speech, informal learning, and kind of microeconomics. And now we moved quite far away from the Wikipedia thing. We started to think it more as an information system, which could replace or places where there's nothing to replace to have a local newspaper. Why not using something like the audio wiki to provide things which classified and forums for jobs, housing, I'm looking for a new place to live, I'm selling personal services, and so on. And this is actually a text how Craigslist is describing itself. So the idea was that why not making Craigslist kind of service places where there's no internet connection, but people could provide their own news and stuff in there. Google has something like that, yes. It doesn't work exactly this way. They are working on, since I think they announced it 2 or 3 months ago, the service in one country in Africa. And this is really like you said, Google is doing that, Nokia has been looking for this, and I think that, which is of course both are good that they are doing, this is really stupid thing, Nokia Life Tools, where they have it's pre-installed in certain phone models in India, which comes a bit of agricultural and information package, which is updated online through the mobile network, some educational material like studying English, and then some entertainment. So there's like a educational material, and they call it Nokia Life Tools, pre-installed it into the phones. And probably they made it and own everything, and yeah, so most likely it's owned by them.
Excuse me, if anybody have some question, please talk to me and I will give you the phone to talk.
Ah, okay, yeah. And so I think that like a Wikimedia should enter this market too, or Wikimedians or Wiki people or whoever. I'm not sure if this is really, if we start to do this, is it according our mission anymore, if we look for like a local newspaper service or local information systems. Does it belong to us? But someone should do it, if you ask me, because of these reasons. I think I'm done. Questions, yes, discussion.
Sorry, I'm a Spanish guy from here, so I don't understand the last part of Nokia Life Tools. Mm. What would be the difference of this idea and Nokia Life Tools and Google SMS in Africa? And what's the difference?
Yeah, well, I think the difference is basically what Eric was saying. Wikimedia is committed to certain freedoms of information. And I think that's the big difference. I don't have anything against Nokia or Google doing this, but I think there should be non-profit provider of this kind of services as well, just for people to choose. And I have a bit of competition. It pushed them further too.
I have a question. Yeah. To what extent is this supported on Wikipedia already or planned to be supported?
To be honest, the software which I'll show you, that if I have the browser and network, it's really, really, really so the answer shortly is that no, it's not integrated, and it would require quite a lot of work, someone to do it, probably. That it's quite a messy, the code which we made just for this prototyping and testing, so it's not good enough, something which could be taken use.
The follow-up question to that is there voice encoding software that's open source, and what voice encoding software are you using actually, and is it open source?
I don't remember the name. I can check it now. Okay. But festival, most likely, yes. And then we were having for African languages, we were working with South African partners who were writing, I think, for 3 or 4 South African languages of text to voice.
Okay.
And I think they were not open source, actually, those, but we were trying to make them open source.
Any other question?
Yes, I was wondering, this goes back to the Nokia Life, I forget what exactly it's called, but I had a question about that. Now, has anybody thought of having people like in these countries make their own apps? And what would that what would need to be done to make that happen? I mean, how much do the people in these countries have a say in what's going on? With the
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I kind of in the beginning when saying that if you don't have the computer culture and history, it doesn't start from Norway. You can't just start it up even if you have. If you don't have, you end up to be a consumer. You end up to be the one who ends up to use the Windows. You know, it's like if you don't have such a living culture in there, it doesn't happen very easily. And I think that's kind of these cultural boundaries are the reason why even Wikipedia doesn't take over very well. So of course it would be great if people would write their own applications and whatever, but I don't see that happening very very soon.
Another question? Okay, let's do a coffee break.
I one thing I want to say that of course there's like a one issue which could be overcome, of course, is that because the server is making the phone calls, then someone needs to pay those phone calls. So, for instance, Wikipedia to take this in use, it could end up quite expensive. But then we should work with the governments and claim that this is like a library service. It should be a free service, or get the operators to sponsor that. But that it would require. We made also a system where you can call, but then getting into the article is quite difficult, or it's actually not possible even, because with the PBX you can just do these menus. So you could go to the sections, and then it reads that in social sciences section they are blah 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 blah. Choose one plus choose two, but it would take ages to browse with that. So this text messaging callback is definitely faster way to get into actual article. But thank you.